Peter and the Starcatcher at IU's Ruth Ann Hall's Theater is a fast-paced, character and costume-filled adventure that calls for audience alertness. The show gives us a backstory for Peter, and it's a prequel to J.M. Barrie's Peter and Wendy. The play and the book it's based on grew from co-author Ridley Pearson's five-year-old daughter's question, "How did Peter meet Captain Hook in the first place?" Pearson, a veteran writer of mysteries, proposed the project to fellow Rock Band member and Miami Herald humor columnist Dave Barrie. The unlikely pair collaborated on one book and then a series that's become five. The first, Peter and the Starcatchers, is the basis for Rick Alisa's Tony Award-winning play that IU's director Murray McGibbon and a talented cast are presenting in the Ruth N. Hall's Theater. As the play opens at dockside, two ships are being prepared for a journey. Captain Scott and Lord Astor will be on the Fleet Wasp with a trunk of star stuff slated for disposal in an island volcano. Lord Astor's daughter Molly, with her nanny, Mrs. Bumbreak, will be on the slower Neverland and a decoy trunk of sand. Captain Slank of the Netherland switches the trunks. As the ships prepare to cast off, a trio of orphan boys are loaded aboard the Neverland, and one catches Molly's eye. The journey proceeds. The crew of the Wasp are imprisoned by pirates led by the impressively mustached, malaprop-mouthing Black Stash with his able assistant Smee. Discovering that their trunk is full of sand, Black Stash alters course and it's off in pursuit of the other ship. Meanwhile, on the Netherland, the nanny has struck up a romance with ship's mate Alf and, thus diverted, allows Molly to slip off, meet the orphans, and even tell them a bedtime story. In the fray of the battle between the Wasp and the Netherland, there's plenty of confusion about who and whom. The boy is swept overboard, saved by the strong swimming Molly, and finally saved by using the trunk of star stuff to float to an island. Somehow things quiet down a bit, and the act ends as Black Stash and the boy share a moment of reflection on an empty trunk. It's here that the boy becomes Peter. The Pan part will have to wait. The second act of Peter and the Starcatcher is filled with adventure on Mollusk Island, where the bitter native leader was a former kitchen slave in England. He's quite intent on warring against anything British and on feeding as many as possible to the island's giant crocodile, Mr. Grin. Resolution comes when the former scullery slave discovers that he once shared kitchen pleasures with Molly's nanny. In what seems like a slightly too lengthy resolution, Peter and the Starcatcher wraps up all the details into the J.M. Barrie classic. Peter adds the Pan to his name, learns to fly, and enlists his orphan companions Prentice and Ted. Black Stash loses his hand. The crocodile has been equipped with a clock. Lord Astor creates a prototype of Tinkerbell. Molly and her daughter will await the ever-youthful Peter's yearly visits. Frankly, it's a bit touching. Lisa Podolka made a doughty Molly. Ethan Carpenter was her coldly rigid father, Lord Astor. Trevor Perkeiser was the diffident boy grown into the more assertive Peter. Joshua Smith and the ever-comical Connor Starks were his orphan pals. Jay Hempel was the flexible Mrs. Bumbreak, with Luke Major as her smitten love, Alf. George Mulder and Marshall Mahler were the captains of the Wasp and the Netherland. The star of the production is the unforgettable Michael Baylor as Captain Hook's prototype, Black Stash. It's a swashbuckling role, and he played it to the hilt. Baylor was ably abetted by Caleb Curtis as Smee. Alan Yurchik's richly detailed and realized design offers lots of levels, nooks, and even a few crannies for the imaginative production. Costume designer Courtney Foxworthy's costumes for all the regular characters were nicely stylish, detailed, and appropriate. She'll be remembered for the wild assemblage of mermaids that opens the second act. Garish costumes with every element of a bathroom, from toilet plungers to faucets to toilet paper rolls and on, appeared as brassieres. Ruben Lucas's backscreen projections supported the fast-flowing scene changes and action. Darian Brimberry designed the lighting for the varied scenes. Ray Fellman skillfully directed the music from the piano with the aid of inventive percussionist Joshua Bowman. Intricately worked out direction and character exploration is by Murray McGibbon, working with choreographer Berkeley Going. Peter and the Starcatcher by Rick Alice, with music by Wayne Barker, plays through Saturday, November 4th in the Ruth N. Halls Theater. When you reread this review at wfiu.org/arts, you'll also find an interview with director Murray McGibbon and actor Trevor Perkheiser. At the theater for you, I'm George Walker.